Oh, so I guess we can just like start.
Chris!
Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
We're back, baby.
I know.
Just leave all this in, honestly, Ash.
I'm leaving it in.
Thank God. Well, Christopher.
Hello and welcome after that, you know, nice jaunty theme music that we all heard. Definitely in our ears. To the Book Wars Pod. Welcome back, everyone. Blah, blah, blah.
Yay. The fucking soundboard won't load. So, you know.
it's
doing Book Wars Pod over here.
The continuing saga of my beef with this fucking soundboard will never end.
It really hates you. It really, really hates you.
It hates me specifically. It's out to get me specifically, mm-hmm. I think.
I heard it say that about you.
The fucking soundboard was talking shit about you, man. I don't know. Said, you're now not you fucking Kristen. Don't try.
Both of you to assume that Kristen could work it either.
That's...
That is bold.
True.
Well, I still haven't told her I'm going to be in Portland. I should do that.
Oh, my
when
God.
When are you going to be in
hey,
Portland?
Hey, Burb, I'm going to be in Portland next month.
Wait, when next month? Am I going to be gone?
21st through 25th-ish.
Well, I leave on the 23rd, so...
If you're listening, don't stalk us. It's weird.
I'm just going to
I could probably do something around then.
Can we cut this out? Chris, can you finish doing the fucking intro? Jeez!
I'm just going to put elevator music over it, you know?
Oh my God, yes! Please do that.
Yep. Now, some more discerning listeners may be like, wait a minute, why are they saying welcome back? They released an episode last week. Yes, dear listeners, let me introduce you to the magic of podcasting. We recorded that episode many moons ago.
Months. Literal months
in
ago.
In our defense, we were waiting until the strike was over.
That's
no,
true.
It was intentional. It was intentional.
And also extremely funny.
And then I had major
surgery.
I'm
sure we said in it that the strike was happening.
Yes.
Yeah.
Chris, can you tell us what the fuck we're reading and where charity is, and then we can shoot the shit?
No.
I'm going to fucking kill you. Why did I let you bring us in?
This was quite literally your idea.
Yeah, I know.
This week, we are starting Out of the Shadows by Justina Ireland, another book in the High Republic series. I don't really know how to describe the High Republic. Literary experience.
Jesus.
And for our book, we are encouraging people to donate, if they can, to the Palestinian Feminist Collective, an intergenerational collective of activists, organizers, practitioners, creators, thinkers, artists, scholars, healers, water and land protectors, life givers, and life sustainers. They are committed to achieving Palestinian social and political liberation by confronting systemic gendered, sexual, and colonial violence, oppression, and dispossession. So, donate.
Give them your money. Because everything there sucks right now. Holy crap.
Give them
yeah, that's
money.
Like understatement of the century.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, did you want to keep making plans with Burb about that?
Yeah, Burb, maybe like Thursday evening.
I have a really early flight the next morning, so we'll see.
Oh my God.
Okay, we'll figure it out. I'm going to be done working
I need you both to know I'm dying inside.
That is fair.
I'll be done working early.
But yeah, we've been on hiatus since early September, I want to say, because, you know, Ash had surgery. We and Burb were traveling. Rana's doesn't stop traveling for work ever. Argos is basically our dog now.
This is true. He does love our backyard.
He does. He's a sweet boy, and we love him very much. But yeah, no. Life has been lifing. So, but we're back.
So you didn't ask for this.
I know.
Here we are.
Hooray for everybody.
It's the beauty of it. No one asked for this. And yet, here we are.
And somehow you are listening. Thanks for that, you poor soul.
I was going to joke, thanks for that, Mom, but no, she gave up listening.
Fuck!
Oh. So Star Wars, huh?
So, Chris, what are you drinking?
I am drinking a Palisade Peach Wheat Beer from Breckenridge Brewery here in beautiful Colorado.
Was it from Breckenridge?
It was, in
sure
fact.
Is.
Breckenridge yeah. Brewery is famously located in Breckenridge, Colorado. This is
Makes
true.
Sense.
Which we have never been to.
Yeah, we've never actually been up there, which we should. Here it's nice.
I've heard good things.
Here it's like the mountains, but like the least rich people part of the mountains.
Woo.
Like, I don't really want to go to Vail because, like, why? Like, not, we can't really afford to go to Vail or Aspen without selling.
Do you have money for
that? And at least one kidney between the two of us. So
you only need one, right?
I mean, between the two of us, we need more than one, I would say.
I know nothing about the human body. I'm just saying things to make
you
noise.
Need at least one kidney. I'm gonna tell you what. I am just drinking. Well, I was gonna have alcohol, and then I was all the way sleepy, so I'm just having tea. I don't actually know what the fuck this is called. It's like the Tea Spots version of Lady Grey, which, well, how is that different from Earl Grey? Because it has orange instead of bergamot and also vanilla. So there you go. Fun facts for y'all.
Also, it's a lady.
It's yeah, correct. Burb, what you got?
I am drinking a beer. Former pod favorite. It's been a while since we've had it on. I've got the...
Shit.
Yeah, it's the Let's Play a dry hopped pilsner from our friends over at Level Beer here in Portland. Level Beer, of course, of having Star Wars themed t-shirt fame. Oh, that is that a level one?
This is I am wearing a Level Beer sweatshirt right now.
Chris is wearing a Level Beer sweatshirt right
wearing
now.
One of their belts right now.
Oh my god!
I am wearing a Level Beer hat right now. It's good stuff. They're nerds.
You're like
tell
wearing
me,
a level.
Tell me why I saw the L on your hat and thought it meant lesbian.
I'm.
Oh, I
because...
assumed it was a Luigi hat.
Why was that my first thought?
Listen, because it's green, it has an L on it. I don't know what
so...
anybody wanted me to expect.
That's so on brand.
I don't know how the fucking lesbians telegraph to each other. I don't
well,
know if you are a lesbian, quite frankly.
You can tell from the shape of the hat, first of all.
oh my god.
The L stands for level. Of level beer. Our favorite
beer. I also like that I didn't question for one second why you'd be wearing a Luigi hat.
I'm more...
Wow.
Like my player in Mario Party is always Waluigi, so I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, all this is on brand. It could be beer, being gay, Luigi, doing great. I think I also have a Migration Brewing like shirt on, so like, you know, it's beer o'clock over here.
Yeah, I keep wearing my Migration sweatshirt to the not Migration Brewery down the street, and I'm like, I know we're all friends here. But I do feel weird sometimes. I'm like, what's up?
It's fine.
I don't have a Breakside sweatshirt, but I'm giving you all my money.
I'm drinking what I normally drink because it's 9 p.m. on a weekday, water. But also because earlier my father made me a cocktail that was a Jack and Coke, and he definitely put some Coke with the Jack. So I'm definitely feeling the effects from that.
Got it.
So we're trying to drink it off.
As it should be.
I like how you're like so, you're so responsible. You're like it's a weeknight, so I'm just drinking water, and I'm just like it's a weeknight. I don't give a flying fuck about anything.
it's a weeknight.
I'm like, ah, I remember caring about that.
Oh my god! If I have shit
to do tomorrow.
So do I, and yet here I am. If my boss Aaron Goins, like literal boss Aaron Goins of Star Wars Bookworms, is listening to this, no, I'm not. I didn't do anything. You heard me say I was drinking tea anyway.
It's Ashton, fine. Ashton over here, like, I have shit to do tomorrow. Me, meanwhile, in addition to my beer, I popped a CBD gummy about 45 minutes ago because I had a week at work so far, and it's only Wednesday. So
I thought about having a gummy, and then I was like, I don't know if it's ever gone well when I've had one on the podcast.
Except that's like accurate. It's only happened like, twice.
All I remember is the one time, and you could tell the exact moment it hit when we were recording. Yep,
correct.
So maybe we'll just leave that
I've recently been getting into gummies, courtesy of from Wise Beautiful Town.
Did she send them through the postal service?
She loves to send it through the postal service.
And then my dad, so my name's Ash Jefferson. My dad's name is Jefferson Ash. And he opened the package. He was like, why the fuck is somebody sending me weed gummies through the mail?
Oh.
How else are you going to send it?
That's
wonderful.
But anyway, I discovered that if I have 5 milligrams, nothing happens. But if I have 10 milligrams, I start playing video games with the TV off. So learning the facts. There's a...
Incredible.
Oh my god, that's so... I love you both very much.
Man, we gotta find out where we can get some mushroom capsules.
Oh man. Oh, I was told not to do that right now. So
I could probably I mean, other than a certain friend of the pod.
Well, sure. Yes. I'm more meant because they are legal in Colorado, but yes, that's true.
I love implicating Jess and shit anytime we record something.
Well, I mean, honestly, what part of her like public person isn't implicating herself in like many things? So
that's
fine.
Totally true. I would also like to clarify, she sent me a lovely post-surgery care package that included gummies.
Oh my god, that's wonderful. She actually texted me. She was just like, hey, after you like had your surgery for your reduction, what was helpful to you? Because I'm sending Ash care packages. I was like, oh, this is adorable. She's like, it was it's extremely just like nurturing auntie thing. And I'm just like, yes, I love this.
What was helpful to you during your surgery recovery? A tall person, so I didn't have to lift my arms above my head.
I was like, I don't know if she managed to do it, but I was like, if you can send him like a grabber.
I had one.
Fuck yeah! Dude, it's really hard to bend over and pick stuff up, okay?
I never found that the grabber was helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 5'5".
I could never grab anything.
A grabber would just be helpful in life regardless of surgery.
That's true. That's true.
Tall boy over here, Jesus.
I've never been called that in my life, thank you.
Well, you're taller than I am, so that counts.
It's true. I've been called many things. Tall ain't one of them.
Oh god. Right. Should we talk about Star Wars?
I love the Star Wars.
Okay. Let's talk about Star Wars.
I even read something about it.
Wow. Look at you.
What?
Wild times.
So proud of you.
I know. I've decided to name this the Krista McDonald Memorial Discussion Question.
Rest in peace.
Yes. I don't know. I was on one when I was making this fucking outline, okay? It's fine. Don't worry about it. Anyway, when and where are we?
You probably don't want me to say the galaxy far, far away, huh?
I'm gonna fucking kill you.
I was gonna say, I don't know who I'm waiting for to answer this question.
I already started talking, so I can answer some things.
Ooh.
Who the fuck wrote after the Valo debacle, the taxation of trade routes to outlying systems?
One me.
This guy.
Oh my.
I
want to say that I hate you.
No, you don't.
So much.
I love it so much.
I know you do. I know you do.
I hate you.
That's why also where below under my comment you wrote rude, I also know that you don't hate me because you know it's true. But I wrote it because, so for those following along at home who aren't necessarily reading at this moment, the first chapter of this book is like, very deep into, oh man, the Transportation Guild was protecting us and now we're trying to reunionize, but it is not going well. And like
Excuse you.
Are struggling.
Excuse you. It was not the first chapter. It was the prologue.
I couldn't.
Controversial things.
I figured I had a 50-50 shot. Do you or do you not
enjoy prologues? We had a fight about this one time in workshop when I was in grad school about whether or not prologue should exist. But anyway, it was the prologue.
I have no problem with a prologue personally. I think many of them are not done well. And honestly, this one didn't need to be a prologue. It could have been chapter one.
No, actually.
In your view, why not?
First of all, I am pro prologue. My book actually has one. Maybe that's why nobody wants to pick it up. I think the prologue is fine because there is a significant enough time jump between the events of the prologue and the actual main story. It's a few weeks that Syl is on Coruscant.
I guess that's true. Okay. All right. I'll accept that.
Whereas everything else happens within, like, either simultaneously or within, a few days of each other.
All right.
So fuck you.
Yeah. Fair.
So we're after Valo.
Yeah.
There's not a... They're not actually talking about taxation of trade routes, but it is not entirely dissimilar. We spent a lot of time on the Starlight Beacon, which is interesting because everyone's still recovering from the fucking shitstorm of the Republic Fair. And they're all just still hanging out there. So that was weird, right?
Yeah, it's definitely for us, we know that this whole era started with the Legacy Run disaster, and that's been mentioned. But it's very clear that the Republic Fair attack was the watershed moment for a lot of people. The Legacy Run and the skirmishes with the Nile that happened after that were very clearly not super cared about.
Right, because they felt like isolated incidents. When you attack the Republic Fair, you're literally, they were we are attacking the Republic. So
that is a very clear active.
It's big boy terrorism.
Terrorism, it's very targeted. Also, did someone say...
Can we all
just
take a moment to establish that Kate just said big boy terrorism?
Okay, thank you. Because I wanted to clarify, what would little boy terrorism be?
The skirmishes from before.
Yes, and or dropping a bomb in a fucking trash can in Times Square and it doesn't go off because you're an idiot. And thank God for that.
That's fair. All right, I'll accept little boy terrorism.
I don't think we should be expecting any definition. I don't think we should be establishing little boy or big boy terrorism.
It's the Incredibles meme. When he's doing the math is math.
Oh, nice.
Terrorism is terrorism.
Fair enough.
Listen, what's a little light treason among friends?
Oh, no.
It's fine. We're just trying to take the heat off Jess.
Oh, my God. Says you. You were on a government watch list by accident for a while, I swear to God, because your mom, who has a very... Arab maiden name fucking sent you a...
It's not, but Americans think it is.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Americans are very stupid.
Foreign fucking name.
It is.
Quote unquote. Hashtag I'm using foreign. Air quotes here. You can't see because it's a podcast. Anyway, she sent you... She sent you Harry Potter and Arabic?
No. So I ordered that for Arabic class. So for those who don't know, I think I've mentioned this in the past. I minored in Arabic in college.
Did you really?
Yes.
And all that is gone now.
And as a...
Fucking
mood.
I minored in a language, too.
yeah, right? Way to use that shit. Anyway, so as part of that, I ordered the first Harry Potter book in... And this is before JKR was outwardly bullshit. But I ordered the first Harry Potter book in Arabic just as a reading exercise of this is a book I know. Let's see how easy it is to read. Not easy, fun fact, still. But also, it took literally 6 months to get to me. And when it did arrive, there was it was shrink wrapped, but there was a slit cut through the shrink wrap very clearly. like it was very clear that this book had been Homeland Security'd. So
and then for several years after that,
did you have to get that imported? You could get that.
Burb, this was like 2010. I could not get that in the U.S.
And then for several years after that, Chris kept getting quote unquote randomly selected whenever he went through
the
TSA.
Selections, yes.
Oh boy.
So I also just
I
had the
been
thought.
Randomly selected in a while, actually. It's pre-check. That's what, duh.
Very similar to the vibe of me bringing, there's this audio recorder that I brought to a trip where I was hanging out with a podcast friend, and it's a Zoom H1 for anyone who knows what I'm talking about. It's like a little portable audio recorder that kind of vaguely looks like a taser. I will give them that. But they thought I brought a taser through TSA, and I said, it's an audio recorder. And they were like, okay. And I have been randomly selected through TSA ever since that event.
No!
My
oh my god, how dare you try to tase people with your equipment.
I wasn't fucking tasing anybody. I was recording a shitty Star Wars podcast in 2017, okay?
Weren't we all?
My drunken high school physics teacher used to tell a story about how he acquired a lighter that was like looked like a hand grenade.
Oh,
and
no.
Forgot to take it out of his carry-on.
Oh no.
When he went on a plane. And they were just like, this person can't possibly be this stupid. That they assumed he was like conducting some sort of test of the system, like some sort of evaluation of the system.
See, that's the benefit of the doubt you get when I assume this person was a white man.
Oh, absolutely.
So yeah, there you go. Wow.
I had the thought that now I want to try to get Harry Potter in Russian, but then that's a bad idea in many ways.
It's absolutely a bad idea, right? Right, a lot, probably like a lot of the time, but especially right now.
Yeah,
most yours of
might
the
get
time.
Homeland Security if you did that.
Yeah, well,
I love this is somewhat related. I love being the trans person in people's lives and then being like, is it okay to still like Harry Potter? I'm like, am I the fucking judge and jury on this matter?
Oh my
know.
God.
That's You're not- the wizard police, Ashton.
Yeah, that's why he has a taser.
You're the wizard, Ashton.
Jeez.
People like, I don't fucking know nor particularly care, quite frankly.
People are wild, man. Oh my goodness. Okay.
So that is very famously about Star Wars.
So taxation of trade routes to outlying systems, famously under dispute.
Yes. I'm just shaking my head at other people. So what the fuck is going on in this outline? All right. So we spend probably a lot of the first, we're at the first third of this book. On Starlight Beacon, we're also, I think I mentioned, we are also on Coruscant, because Syl is trying to get literally anyone to listen to her about how hinky shit is going on with hyperspace. And Nan is back from Into the Dark. She, if you may recall, was the girl that Wreath developed a crush on because he's a dumb little...
The first,
anxious baby,
but not the last.
Okay, we'll talk about Wreath in a hot ass
crush on
second
her too.
Well,
for what
yeah,
it's
he
worth.
Sure does. And then he finds out that she's Nile, and he's like, "Oop."
Well, this is awkward.
So the Nile have been mostly chased out of. It seems like a lot of their ground like hiding places, and so are mostly operating just like out of their fleets. So we're on various garbage ships. And there you go.
Various garbage ships and one nice ship.
Yes, correct. Well, we mentioned Wreath. The next general point on this outline is, which I wrote, was please Lord help me with all these horny teenagers, because please Lord help me with all these horny teenagers. I was
There's
just like
a lot going on.
Cackling.
I do not remember that about being a teenager.
I mean, is it a teenage boy thing? Because I sure do.
I mean, I also didn't know I was gay, so there's a difference.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's fair.
I'm asexual. I can't comment on this matter.
All right, well, but... as our resident former horny teen.
I hate everything about that phrase.
But yeah, it's very, honestly, it's very, like, refreshing to see characters deal with feelings of attachment
of
in
horny.
A healthy way. Yes, feelings of horny in a healthy way. There's not a floating fruit to be seen in this book.
Fucking.
Sorry, the look I just got from Kate.
I like Miranda's crying, and I'm about to like gut myself. And Ash just like rolls his chair off screen. He's out of here.
but in all seriousness, like Imri is having a lot of trouble handling not even his own emotions, but other people's emotions, and like he is not given the Yoda conceal don't feel speech like Anakin was.
Which is a good thing. Emery's got a lot of difficult and complex feelings, so.
And, like, there's also that youngling who has the crush on, or that Padawan who has the crush on Emery. And Vern is just like, heh, cute. As opposed to, like, imminent danger to the Republic.
Yes.
Which is also, like, a positive development compared to the Jedi that we're used to.
Also, speaking of Vern, this, like, listen, we have all my favorite disaster children and main children in the same place. So we've got Wreath, and we've got Imri, and we've got Comac, and then we have poor Vern out here just being, like, the one single voice of reason, just, like, trying to, like, legitimate, like, not, listen, everyone's trying to do their best, but she's, like, actually trying to do her best, and she's just, like, she's so tired. Like, it's just, it's too much.
She's 17 Classic. And surrounded by horny Padawans, and she's like, I can't do this.
She's just like, all of you are dumb boys, and also I'm ace, and everything is stupid.
She is the classic former gifted kid on Twitter, like, talking about how depressed they are and burned out right now.
Rude.
Aww.
Like, she's absolutely going around liking tweets that, like, liking space tweets that are something along the lines of, like, were you a gifted student or were you just emotionally neglected? Stellan.
We are all silent.
I was going to say, did I just end the pod?
Yeah, well, you did. Well, good run, mic everybody. Drop. This is awkward. Goodbye.
Hit a little too close there, guys.
Oh, no.
I already said rude in the outline.
I didn't even read this book and I feel a little attacked. Like, I know, right?
She's not even a formerly gifted kid. She's still very gifted, and everyone's mm-hmm. like,
"I know." She like runs into
12.
That, yeah, that Padawan who like has the crush on Emery, being like, oh my god, you're so famous. You passed your Jedi trials at 15." She's like, "Yep, and now I'm 17. Anyway, can I have a ship?" And I was just like, "Oh my god, this poor, poor woman."
And then the cloud said, "No, fuck you."
The cloud is about to be my favorite character. The sentient cloud that only yells. I'm like, I want to be a sentient cloud that only yells. That's how I feel every day.
I also do love that everybody
I'm sorry,
is like,
the what?
Can't drive.
The sentient cloud that only yells.
Oh, it's my
oh,
favorite
my
part
mistake.
Of the
now I understand perfectly.
Ashton, Rogue Pod reads Legends. I know for a fact that is the weirdest thing you've encountered in a book on a podcast.
We're not talking about Maru right now, okay?
This is my favorite thing about reading the High Republic is that we just get to say shit and he's like, what? The what?
Yeah, literally what?
Uh-huh. The cloud changes colors too.
Yeah, depending on their mood.
It goes from anger to more anger, but different
and
colors.
Sometimes they live in a jar and sometimes they don't.
And they also won't give Vern a car.
Yes, because Vern is perfect in every way. What?
Star Wars started out so simple. You know?
I know. Tell me about it.
The problem is Chris is right. I've definitely read more weird shit in Legends.
And you know what? Make Star Wars weird again is what's happening right now, honestly. But yeah, no, Vern is perfect in every way except that she's like Anakin and she will not stop crashing ships, and I love that about her. I think that's fantastic.
Is it Comac who's like, who is your master? Who taught you how to drive?
Yeah. And he's like, oh, that makes sense.
Yes. Yep. Yep. It's Comac.
Okay, but it is very funny, though. Like, she is different from Anakin in one way. It is allegedly not her fault that she's crashing the ships. Like, she's like, listen, one got shot down by the Nile. One got blown up on Valo. Neither of those is my fault. Whereas Anakin's like, yeah, I crashed that one. Yeah, I crashed that one. Caught in a gravity well. Shot down, but kind of my fault because I flew into it.
Only Anakin Skywalker famously have only very exciting landings. Oh my god. All right. So,
that's the drop. Another happy landing.
But yeah, all right. Y'all, puberty wreath is happening and it's too funny to me. I'm just like, you fucking... He just, like, I don't know, man. He just woke up one day with suddenly just, like, boobs. And I'm like, dude.
Listen,
aren't we
us.
All?
I don't know. Anyway, fucking, I'm living for the fact that, like, Imri, who this poor baby empath, is just, like, sensing Wreath's horny. And he's just like, ew.
Don't look at my mom.
Oh god. Anyway, I'm worried about these kids. I'm also worried about Comac because Wreath seems to think that he's not really. I mean, is anyone dealing well in the aftermath of the Valo disaster? Absolutely the fuck not.
No, and that's also the whole point of everything on the Starlight Beacon. They're like, we're doing bad.
Real bad.
Also, has Comac ever given the indication that he's okay?
No.
Like ever in
no,
his life.
No, that's why I love him, because he's garbage. The only person who's more garbage than him is Elzar, so, you know, he's got that going for him. He's not Elzar.
Comac, in my head, he does not look like this in real life. In real life, he is a darker-skinned person, but in my head, he's played by Keanu Reeves, and it really, really works. Like,
it's
I'll
about
leave
the hair.
You all... I'll leave you all with that image as we get into the second part of this book.
Oh my god.
But just try it on for size. It works really well.
Interesting. Interesting. In brighter news, with all these knuckleheads, we've talked about Silvestri Yarrow just a teeny bit. I already love her. She's great. I can't wait for them all to collide, as doubtless they will do. But yeah, no, she's sassy and she's sick of rich people. And I'm just like, hell yeah, I relate to this.
The best, my favorite part from this section was when the fucking rich dude, xylophone graph. he like rolls up to the shitty like space diner she's at, like the space dive bar, the space drive-in. This is space triple D.
Oh my god.
And he's like, we're going somewhere else to eat. And he like drops a bunch of money on the table. That's probably more than this place has made all week. And she just like grabs some of it.
I love that moment so very much. He's just like, that's for me now. And I'm just like, yeah, it is.
I think this is mine, actually. Thank you.
It's that and her being so annoyed at the when he upgrades her to the fancy ass hotel. And she's like, please, droid, stop asking me every 15 minutes if I need water. I'm going to kill you.
Okay, like that. I would also hate that.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very big mood.
Oh, yeah. I get it. 1,000%.
But like half of her internal monologue in the section, like after she meets him, is just, you know, I don't like you.
I know, she's just like, you.
But you seem like you would give me a lot of money if I asked for it.
Yes. She just looks at him and she's just like, you're a piece of shit. But also, I believe in the redistribution of wealth. What if you redistributed it to me? And I'm like, that's so real. Like,
space money can be used
for goods and services.
Capitalism is a nightmare, but she's gonna eat the rich.
Yeah, she is. Okay. So, one thing I wanted to dive into, I'm sure we will get more of this throughout the book, but we've been talking throughout discussing the High Republic about just like how we are starting to see a shift in the role of the Jedi Order in the galaxy. And I feel like that's just a really explicit kind of debate in this one, what with them trying to decide what to do about the Nile. So should they, all right, I wrote down, should they be, the questions are like, should they be peacekeepers? Should they be police? Should they keep being educators / force scholars? Who wrote Stellan and 57 question marks?
No, who do you think?
Okay, well, go on then.
I mean, like, all right, so I talked when we read.
You were like, I talked and then paused and I was like, unfortunately.
Yeah. I talked when we read The Rising Storm about my feelings on Jedi Master Stellan Geos. I will repeat them for anybody who missed those episodes. That dude sucks. How much everybody hates prequel Yoda, rightly. Like, how much everybody rightly hates, like, Little War Crime Gremlin prequel Yoda. Like, Stellan is, like, the reason that prequel Jedi exists. Like, he is the poster child for what if we became magical space wizards for all of the poor people in the world. And like, he's like super like gung-ho about working with the Republic, about like being galactic police. It's, y'all are gonna get more of it, believe me. Like, he is like having bad like his friends are pissed at him because he's being such a fucking dick lately. Like, he's changing his appearance to look cooler. Like, I don't know. He is, I dislike Stellan Geos.
Really?
Yes, in case you can't tell.
Is it because he also has a disheveled beard?
I mean, listen, I could have a Stellan Geos disheveled beard if I wanted to.
Oh, dear. I have to live with that, though.
That's why I don't.
Uh-huh.
I've been requested not to,
in fact. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, he is very high and mighty and very like pro procedure to the point of not getting anything done for procedural sake. And it is really starting to come out in The Rising Storm, but also in this. Like, in The Rising Storm, we kind of saw him become the de facto, like, look at this cop standing on a hill protecting us all from danger because of some wonderful Republic propaganda that was filmed during the attack on Valo. And like, he has really taken that role and run with it and just become this, like, when you first meet him, he kind of seems like proto Obi-Wan, where he's like a stickler, but like, he's got a funny side. But like, now he's just like,
but also, like, he's got no practicality to him, too. Is
exactly
part of the problem. Yeah.
Like, for somebody who has spent time outside the Jedi Temple, you sure would not know it. Like, he is very much, the rules say that you need to send one of your best Jedi to me for a wild goose chase. I don't care if you have actual things to do with them.
He's that motherfucker who actually printed out the employee manual and then carries it around with him and then like pulls it out during meetings. And he's just like, actually, on page 357, paragraph 2.
He volunteered to have this conversation over a poster up in his office.
Oh, my God. I'm also interested in the fact that, like, how much did it get to his head? I think Vern says at some point that he's like the only person in any kind of leadership position who came out of the Valo attack with like good, like, what is it called, public sentiment around him. Like, everybody else is just like, everyone's mad at everybody else, including the Chancellor.
Yeah. And like,
even though the cancer was like in the hospital because she's like 95% dead. Like, it's ridiculous.
She almost died, and then it was Stellan standing over her like, I am a hero.
Yep.
Yes.
With his one sad emo Anakin tear. Yeah.
And we are already starting to get the sense that it changed him. Like, Vern has this conversation with Eivor about, and after Eivor is already clearly pissed at him, and Eivor, for those who don't remember, is like besties with Stellan. Like, it's Stellan, Elzar, and Eivor are
which,
like,
can we, I want to see more interactions between Vern and Eivor so bad, because like Vern, Eivor is surrounded by fucking idiots. It's like,
true.
Anyway.
But yeah, and those three are just like out here at the beginning of Light of the Jedi, like, we're the three best friends that anybody could have. But like, but they are all like abandoning each other right now. Like, Elzar obviously got drunk and tried to fucking grope Eivor in public, which doesn't go well, famously, for the Jedi.
Elzar fucks.
Elzar famously and canonically fucks. Stellan, listen, he feels like a Stefan. I'm just gonna say.
Oh my god.
Stellan, like, is very much like, oh, that's nice with all your little field experience, Eivor, but some of us are doing real jobs here in the bureaucracy.
I know.
And so, like, Vern is not super comfortable with him right now. Like, she's happy to talk to him. She's happy that she's going to go see him again. And yet, she has a conversation with Eivor about, like, so what if I don't tell him about my light whip?
Mm-hmm.
Because she's made unorthodox modifications to her lightsaber, which is, as we know from, you know, other Star Wars media, an incredibly personal, not just weapon, but tool and device, and really just an extension of oneself, as Obi-Wan famously tells Anakin after he loses his third one. And it's like, it's kind of awkward not being able to share that with your master, and or being afraid to share that with your master.
Right. Like, he asks Eivor, who is just like, you know, also just way up in the Jedi pecking order. And Eivor's just like, you know, what your dad doesn't need to know isn't going to hurt him. And I'm just like, oh my word. You know, like, it's not good.
Yep.
Inevitably, he's going to find out about it in this book, I'm certain, because otherwise, why drop that? And he's going to shit his fucking pants, and yeah. Like, I just, like, I can't.
She was very much like, just tell him, like, later.
It's not important right
go
now.
Go do this.
It's not pertinent information, so
go talk to these people.
Dishonesty if he doesn't ask you.
Mm-hmm.
You're not lying if you don't say anything.
I love Eivor.
Eivor's great. Eivor, you're so right. Eivor is just out here surrounded by idiots.
I know. It's her and Vern, and they're just, I don't know. They're like, they're holding a pile of crap together, both of them, with their respective like group, like colleagues and stuff. It's like, it's a whole situation. Like, I just, and you know, nothing changes. Vern's here just being like, why so horny, do your job. And Eivor's also like, why so horny, get away from me and do your job. Like, you know, it's like
that awkward moment where you're holding just the entire Jedi Order on your fucking, like, just putting them on your back with a broken leg, but then Yoda outlives you.
Good. Should we talk about hyperspace?
It's weird.
Yeah. Hyperspace. It's a literal series of tubes that no one understands how they work.
I don't know if I'm just
how
like,
do they
making...
work?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm making this up or if I'm projecting or what, but I feel like in the film canon, like, I don't know if it's just because they never talk about theoretical space physics, but like, everyone seems to kind of know what's going on.
I mean, when does Star Wars actually use it's no Star Trek. The rules are made up and the points don't fucking matter.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure like the canonical answer from Pablo Hidalgo of how does time work in hyperspace is however it needs to. So,
yeah. So that's good.
I will say, I guess it was Syl during this, but you know, folks were very much talking about like, we know how to use hyperspace. We know how to fly through it, and we understand that there are, you know, HOV lanes.
Right.
That stands for hyperspace lanes.
Thanks.
Hyperspace occupancy vehicles.
does
the Prius still get to go in it for free?
Oh my God.
Christ. We understand how to use the hyperspace lanes, but like,
right,
what's going on there?
It's like, it's fascinating to me how much, like, you know, even in the current Star Wars era, how much they just don't know, it seems like, about how hyperspace and how it works. It's almost like, you know, it's almost like back in the day when we had discovered like radioactive materials and they could be helpful and they can, you know, they can help provide power, and also let's eat them.
Don't eat them.
Like, you know, like, it's just like,
don't lick the uranium.
Like, I don't lick the
let's make uranium glass. That sounds like a good idea. People can put that in their homes.
Don't I lick know. The watches, man.
I just, yeah, I don't know. It seems like, seems a little bit risky, but okay, you know, whatever. I do enjoy that we're getting some, I don't know, like, it's me, and this is the kind of nerd I am, where I'm just like, I'm kind of enjoying the, like, the theory around hyperspace. We read in, I think it was Light of the Jedi, about hyperspace prospecting, and that's how the Centek has made their fortune, and now we have the Graffs, the Graff family, who have done the same thing, except seems like in an even shadier fashion. And I'm only calling him Xylophone now because you said it, Miranda. But he, you know, but he's just like, I am a foremost, like, hyperspace scientist. And I'm like, you're an asshole, but also tell me more.
I love world building, and I'm so mm-hmm. interested in this, and it makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
I do very love much how much they've absolutely leaned into how little sense hyperspace makes mm-hmm. in the past few years in Star Wars. And I mean, they did that in like fucking, like, the movies too, a little bit. Like, hyperspace doesn't make any goddamn sense in the movies. Like, oh, you can only travel through hyperspace if you have direct coordinates and you're launching from a specific point and you're out of any gravity well. JK, you can do it and land inside a planet. JK, you can do it from inside a ship. JK, you can do light speed skipping, which is hilarious because light speed is very rarely used in Star Wars except when JJ Abrams is involved, because he gets confused easily.
I do appreciate
the Kessel Run.
Oh my God. I do appreciate that there was like a wink and a nod towards like jumping to hyperspace from Atmo in this fucking book, because I was just like, because that's the thing that like people were like asking questions about, and I think it became a larger question like at some point during Rebels. Hera does it. She jumps to hyperspace from atmosphere, and people are like, what, you can do that? And everyone's like, yeah, we meant that the whole time.
Mm-hmm. They did it. Rogue One.
Too. Yes, yes, thank you.
I remember being on Star Wars Reddit back then, and people were
God
really
bless you.
Fuck.
I really feel like they need to have a movie where
it
the
was
main
2016. It was a different time.
It was, oh my God, truly.
I they actually really liked Star like... Wars back then.
You know what? It would actually make perfect sense for them to do this in The Mandalorian, because that's the sort of self-referential show that series has become. But just have a main character just fucking die because they tried to jump to hyperspace from inside a planet's atmosphere, but then it didn't work, and they're the proverbial, like, yeah, you could do it, but you're probably gonna die. Like, we've only seen the people who lived do it. We have perception bias.
Oh my God. If I never see Lightspeed skipping again, it'll be too fucking soon, but...
The green dread pirate Roberts actually died by trying to go to Lightspeed
for now. Oh my God. I hate you. anyway, I mean, I have my theories that the gravity's heart that they're that the Nile are building are what's pulling ships out of hyperspace and fucking around, because it's a giant fucking gravity well, and I think that's how it works. I think that's pretty. I feel like that already explained itself, but like, I don't know. I wanna know. Tell me more fun facts about hyperspace, please.
I'm very interested to see how that works out. Like, what a very specific concept to have as kind of the point, like the part of the book that pulls all the storylines together. It's like, they're just dropping out of hyperspace, man. like Syl is talking to Xylophone. He's like, so they were over here between Hosni and Prime and Kessel. And she's like, that's the other, like, not that the galaxy makes sense in terms of like having any kind of spatial
time, distance, what is a parsec, whatever,
relationships, but she's like, that's the other side of the fucking galaxy, man. It's like me, also, like, I drove to Seattle last weekend and I got lost and now I'm in Philadelphia.
It's like, what? Yes. Yes. I also love how you're like, it pulls all the storylines, because gravity is a force. Because it's pulling the storylines. Nice.
Fuck you.
I did love how Xylophone, because that's just what we're calling him now.
That's what we're calling him now.
Is like, it's not possible to pull ships out of hyperspace with a gravity well. And I'm like, man, you would go to the future and be so confused. Because that's like a very, like, not basic, but like not super advanced technology that the Empire has by the end.
It's a popular bad guy move for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was that just made me giggle a little bit. Like, ah, yes, this is the past.
The other thing I'm really interested in, so we haven't like really gotten a ton of information on how Mari San Taka works. I don't know if that's the right verb there, but
that's the old lady, I feel like, right? It is.
Yeah. What?
That's the old lady.
Yes, yes. So we haven't gotten a whole lot of information about that. We just know that she's got some sort of almost, it feels like the Force, that she's able to come up with all these hyperspace paths that the Nile have been using that no one has discovered before. And now we know that they're only temporary, which I think is real fucking interesting.
Did we not know that before?
We
did not.
No, we did not.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah. So because Xylophone starts talking about how like all these like celestial body shifts like determine whether or not it's possible to actually even jump, and I'm just like, ooh.
I loved his big like red string situation he had.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yes,
in his
conspiracy theory board. Yeah.
He's like, okay, so here's all the existing hyperspace lanes, here's where they've dropped in and dropped out, and here's all the fucking space science. I was like,
yep,
I love this.
I know.
Hi, Tony. Mm-hmm.
I'm so into it. So, yeah, no. Hats off to Justina Ireland. I don't know how she got such, honestly, specific, you know, language and rules for hyperspace, I guess. Like, past the story group, who would love to keep everything as vague as humanly possible. But she did it, because she's a fucking hero, and we love that.
Honestly, shocking.
All right. Other things?
So we've met the Graphs. I do love how Xylophone literally does
the
stereotype.
Not the same as the
Santecas. Not the same. Famously, not the same
as the
Santecas.
Different people, not the folks we met in the other book.
Yes.
Yeah, which also, sidebar, I'm sure we're going to meet Syl's ex at some point because she got mentioned. But, like, you were dating a Santecas. I know. I was like, you were dating a Santeca girl.
Yeah. This whole episode that you guys have been saying Santeca, I've been trying to figure out where the hell that name comes from, and I just now realized it's the dude from Force Awakens.
Nailed it!
This is true.
Who?
You know the old dude who gives Poe the map inexplicably to Luke Skywalker because JJ needs a MacGuffin?
His name's Lor San Taka.
His name is Lor San Taka.
Oh my god, my head just exploded. Where's... Man,
if only we'd talked about this in a previous episode.
Carrying on the Christian tradition of what is anyone's name ever?
Yes.
I've asked about him like so many times before.
And you have
I don't know his fucking name. He's the old guy.
sick.
But yeah, like it's very much they're very like Montague and Capulet. Very very Sharks and Jets.
Wow.
Stell and his Officer Krupke.
Oh my god.
I do absolutely love how Xylophone comes up.
I'm getting a fucking divorce.
The stereotypical, I'm Xylan Graf. Yes, of those graphs. Like, okay, guy.
Nobody asked. Nobody asked. She's like, who the fuck? Like, I'm just trying to have my shitty food. Like, my shitty fucking, like, space French dip. It was a stew, but French dip is, like, the peak dive bar food that I always want.
Is it?
I always want a French dip. I've never had a good French dip.
They serve French dip at a dive bar?
I was going to say, so is it because you ordered it at a dive bar?
Maybe I've only had French dips at dive bars.
It's a big day for Burb, y'all. She realized who Laura Santeca is. She realized why she's never had a good French dip.
It's always exactly what I want it to be.
That I will give you.
Like, it's not objectively good, but I sure do appreciate it.
It's a high floor, low ceiling sandwich, to be sure.
I'm still stuck on Stellan being Officer Krupke, and so I will be for the rest of this week.
We are up to no fucking good here.
Do you need the timestamp for the divorce proceedings?
No, we're here, just gonna make Honor. The court. We're going to make the court listen to this whole goddamn episode.
Oh my god. Like that I think you should leave sketch where she reads every single.
Yep. Oh my fucking god, did you see Brian's hat?
I was making a point. What was it? There was a thought.
French dip.
No, it was before that. Oh yeah, she just dated a Santeca.
Very
and
casually.
Like she's like, what is the metaphor I want to use? I don't know. But she's like cool. Some like shitty little space hauler. She's like, so I had a girlfriend. She was real nice to me. Her family owned several buildings on Coruscant.
Several planets, you know, normal shit.
I'm very excited for the ex-girlfriend to show up.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because they're teenagers. It's going to be messy.
Oh, absolutely. And I like, she's about to show up because they're on her planet. Verna is anyway. Uh-huh. Yeah, so.
I wonder if we've seen her already.
What?
Flying through on a speeder, perhaps.
Oh, yeah, that was it? Okay.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
But also, I do love how Syl is known Xylophone for like a day, and yet she's like, when he like shows her the building, he's like, this was my trial to become a true graph, to make this building profitable.
And she's like, where's the roof 2,000 stories up so I can throw myself off, please?
It's very if anybody has ever seen The Good Place, the guy who's like, I took my father's $12 million company and turned it into a $13 million company. Thank you very much. Like that was Xylophone's trial.
Big that energy. Oh my god.
I love that she just sat on his dog.
I love the dog though.
It's a good
She's
dog.
A good girl.
Listen,
She's
who among us
girl.
Hasn't seen a big dog and wanted to sit on
it? Uh-huh.
Great point.
Cozy fucking dog.
I'm imagining it as like a big fluffy white dog, like a, you just want to cozy up into it.
Oh, I know. I
mean,
like,
I've in D&D made dogs people can ride. I think that's like a universal human experience.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Universal human experience. I want the big dog. I know they describe the dog as having like extra eyes and limbs and stuff, but I keep thinking I just keep picturing Naga from Legend of Korra.
Oh, that one makes far more sense. I was picturing a dog version of Heimlich
Big
from
dog.
A Bug's Life.
Chris, what?
Well, because like I don't like bugs. I don't think they're cute. And the dog has six legs. But I was like, what's cute and has six legs? What's that fat caterpillar from A Bug's Life? His name is Heimlich.
To be fair, this part is also about anti-capitalism.
Can you wrap up the pod I've had it with you?
I sure can. As the music we all hear starts to play.
It's not playing.
Don't ruin the magic of radio, Ash. For our next episode, we're going to be continuing with Out of the Shadows and reading chapters 12 through 24. If you have the means, first and foremost, please donate to the Palestinian Feminist Collective. And then, if you wish to flush your money direct...
Plays guitar. I'm sorry.
That's our new outro.
Don't be sorry.
I was going to ask if you knew I'm Yours by Jason Mraz, but I don't know if you're old enough for that reference.
No, I don't. I don't know it on guitar. I do know it on ukulele, though.
We'll allow it.
Of course.
Do you know how many people fucking asked me to play that song as a teenager?
That is the quintessential teen boy guitar player experience.
Just trying to bang
I'm glad
all
that
the
you
chicks.
Didn't miss out on that.
Jeepers.
Yeah, that's definitely what I was doing. With my ukulele.
Uh-huh. Oh my god. The best.
I'm sorry, I derailed it at the worst time. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because we never fucking do that.
I never derailed this it. I did not just bring up Jason Mraz.
This was a very focused podcast episode.
Anyway, if you want to flush your money down the toilet after giving it to a good cause, you can join the Toshi Station Radio Patreon at www.patreon.com/ToshiStation. The $1 tier gets you access to the Patreon Slack. The $2 tier, new as of mid-2023. You can watch me or Kate, often Kate, stream. Kate has been going through Red Dead Redemption 2. She's going to be starting The Last of Us 2 remasters shortly.
We have been playing Red Dead Redemption, and what he means is mostly crashing into trees.
Yes.
Just doing backflips off my horse from crashing into trees.
And for those who have seen the streams, just know that for every tree she crashes into on stream, there's 1,000 more off stream that y'all aren't seeing.
I didn't know that you could crash into a tree in Red Dead Redemption.
Oh, you can crash into trees and rocks and fences, and I sometimes crash into.
I don't know, Kate. I guess I'm just good at video games, and that was for a
problem. Listen, sometimes I crash into other people, and then they get mad and they pull a gun on me. You know,
Kate's a regular Vernestra Rowe in the saddle. Everybody,
fucking.
Oh my god.
Also, you can support us by giving us coffee at ko-fi.com/bookwars.
What is the divorce timestamp?
Damn. And when you do, we'll be sure to post an extra picture of one of the good boys and girls of the pod, Argos, Orca, Tony, Wedge, and Tifa. Our theme song, should it be added to this in post, is Whiz Bang by Poddington Bear. Our logo and artwork, our Bijou Butera design, and our audio and production are done by our very own Ashton at Ash Jeffies.
Hey, that's me.
I'm from all of us here at the Book Wars Pod, from Kate, Miranda, Ashton, Keeks, Rana.
I saw the brain fart happening in your eyes as you were just like, what's the last sentence I usually do?
Yeah, it's been a minute. From all of us, I'm Chris. Thank you for listening. And we'll talk to you again next episode.
Wow.
Oh, boy.